A very good morning to you, my dear. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio stations. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this very, very moment. My name is Mike Oshavedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, so your daily dose of what really going on in business, in economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and number, and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, always curious, asking the questions that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack headlines, to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're joining us, if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM and to Unpacking the Day. It's our time. It's about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And today is the 2nd of September. The year is 2025. So, and let's start off with our first segment on this day in Africa. There aren't really much significant event on this day. We haven't recorded events on this day in Africa. So, yeah, we have only probably one event. So, the World Summit on Sustainable Development that took place. This was called the Earth Summit, which actually began in Johannesburg. It began in Johannesburg in 2002. So that was on the 2nd of September, 2002, the Earth Summit, also known as the World Summit on Sustainable Development. So it opened in Joburg, in Majozi, in South Africa. So the world leaders including Nelson Mandela, Jacques Chirac, you know, Gerhard Schroeder, and Tony Blair. So they were all convened to discuss global challenges like poverty, environmental degradations, and climate change. So, and even President one of the quote known for French President Chirac warned, our house is burning down and we are blind to it. And Blair emphasized, if Africa is a scar on the conscience of the world, we have a duty to heal it. Yeah, so yeah, that's all we have for this segment on this day in Africa. It's basically looking at the World Summit on Sustainable Development. So, Tuesday, September the 2nd, the thought for the day. What is our thought for the day? Hatred is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You probably have heard that before. So, hatred is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So the proverb means that harboring, you know, keeping hatred is self-destruction, is self-destructive. So when you hold on to hate, it is as if you are poisoning yourself. So causing emotional, mental, or even physical harm. So while mistakenly believing it will help the other person's or the person you hate. So the Proverbs emphasize that hatred primarily damages the person who feel it, not the target. So as the hate person often remain uninfected, unaffected by your feelings. So it is a call to let go of resentment, to protect your own well-being. So hatred is like a drinking, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So that's our thought for the day. So, and it's a reminder that, you know, resentment would damage you who feeling it. You damage who feeling it. And hopefully from this proverb, you can make sure that your decisions and choices that you're making today, will protect, you know, your own well-being. You know, are not made from hatred, where mistakenly believing that you will hurt the other person. So, all right. So that's our thought for the day. And, hopeful that will guide your decision that you'll be making, during the course of the day today. So thank you for joining us, and you are welcome, to Eagle FM. So, yeah, what you can expect today on our show, and in few minutes we will be talking to. I will have a guest on my show. We will have a guest, and we're looking at what does Namibia need really to process mineral locally. So, and we will. That's one thing that we're going to look at, and. Yesterday, we were also supposed to, because we didn't have time, which is okay. The president is in the region, was in the Kavango East region, visiting some green schemes. So there are issues that comes out. Maybe it's worth looking at that as well. This is coming from the article from the yesterday's edition of the Villages. So we didn't look at that yesterday. So, if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. The other aspect is Namibia to launch a new national airline. So there are also issues. Maybe we need to look at that. Is it something? Are we repeating the same? Is that same old thing? Is the same old? Or is there a new strategy or new way of doing this? We can look at that as well if we have time. So that's what we have prepared. That's what we have for you this morning. Make sure you stay tuned. As you can see, quite very interesting discussion there that we will have definitely during the course of these 2 hours from now on until the hour of 10 o'clock. Well, stay tuned. We will be back and we'll get into our first item.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longi shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora heta tuimwe. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
It's a very good morning to you if you're just joining us, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, now, for decades, for many years, Namibia's economy has been powered by digging valuable minerals out of the ground and shipping them overseas. So from diamond and uranium to copper, and now lithium. So the nation's wealth has been exported in its rawest form. But there is a growing consensus among policymakers and economists argues that the real value and the key to the sustainable jobs and economic sovereignty lies in the next step, which is processing those minerals right here at home. So today we are exploring how the country can shift from just exporting raw material to building strong local processing capabilities. Now, to help us unpack this is our very own in-house economist, Mr. Ngino Minavali Erastus. Ngino, good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for making time to be with us this morning. And I will ask you to hold on for now because we have an ad coming up.
All right, sir.
When you choose UNAM, you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And today, this morning, I'm with Mr. Ngino Minavali, and well-known Kanjengo Kangpanyoka. So welcome. So let's start with the bigger picture, Ngino. When you look at Namibia economy today, we are still heavily dependent on exporting raw materials. So what does this mean for our long-term economic well-being if we don't shift, from just exporting raw material to now building a strong local processing capabilities here?
And I think that is the question we're supposed to be or to ask ourselves a long time ago.
Mm.
And since we didn't ask ourselves that question, we are on this journey now because we didn't know the impact and how sustainable it is.
Yeah.
Because you're only able to move faster or with a sense of agency when you know the impact of you not acting.
Mm.
So at the policy level, at the highest level, we didn't ask ourselves that question, or perhaps we were not, our founding fathers were not so aware, and even those who came after them, they were not so aware at such a level that what is the impact of us not acting to transform, to start the processing our natural resources. So we didn't have an answer, or we didn't dare to ask ourselves that question at the highest level.
Yeah.
So now it become unsustainable. Now we are calling for jobs, like not just five or four or three jobs. No, we are calling for jobs of like 500,000 business opportunities.
Yeah.
And the only place I have seen that employ more than 200 people in one room is a manufacturing company.
Yeah.
It's a processing company. So now, in that case, for you to create jobs, for you to create wealth for your people, for you to get more out of your resources, it means you have to process. Mm. You have to add value. And unfortunately, to either our ignorance of the technocrats, I do not know who to blame here. Like, for real, I cannot blame our forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really puzzled, because we have the universities, we have the technocrats, we have the loud economists, all these people. Now I'm so puzzled to say, what do we suppose actually need to blame for us not answering this question, that what is the cost of us not acting faster to start the processing or to start adding value? What, who's supposed to tell us that this is how we're supposed to create employment, this is supposed how we're supposed to unlock value and create wealth for our people? So definitely, the short answer is that it's no more sustainable for us to go in the direction that we are going because we cannot create value nor wealth for our people with this model of economics extract. And it's just not about extracting copper.
Mm.
It's the same as you selling live animals to South Africa. Because we put them, the winners, in a truck and we send them to South Africa. We put the goats in the truck and we put them in a ship and they go to Dubai. It's the same, it's just not mine. So now we, it's not sustainable anymore sending live goat and sheep to Dubai.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable because wealth is in processing. Wealth is in slaughtering those goats. Wealth is getting that skin and that wool and making things in Namibia. Mm. That is what is sustainable.
Yeah. So our new national development plan, and all other plans actually, this one aims to push processed export to 57% by 2030. You know, is this target realistic given where we are, given our current constraints?
Yeah. In terms of the target itself, it's an okay target.
Yeah.
The only issue is here, you have the same people in government.
Mm.
You have the same technocrats. You have the same banking institutions. You have the same capital market.
Yeah.
So until those factors are changed, you cannot achieve such a target. The target is okay.
Mm.
It is doable.
Yeah.
But it's only doable if other levers and machineries are aligning.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot deploy capital to the private sector to start the processing, then how are you going to reach such a target?
Yeah.
So it's not really that the target is bad, is too much, is too high. No. The issue is here. I'm repeating, you have the same technocrats. We have just recycled our EDs.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same technocrats in place. You have the same political party in place. You have the same politician in place. You have the same capital market. Our regulations about where you're supposed to deploy capital of non-fees and means of finance are not changed.
Yeah.
You know, you have the same banking institution. You are still in SACO. Your trade policy and every policy is the same. So you see, so it's not about how high or how low the target is, the institutions and the levels and the capacity and the people and the universities and everything that you have.
Yeah.
And also your vocational, because vocational drive processing. Vocational activity drive process, because these are the people who process.
Yeah.
Now, did you change the curriculum? Did you change the curriculum? No, you did not.
Mm.
Did you increase the funding to the vocational? No, you did not. So, did you also fix the supply? No. If you cannot tell me you want to process gold when gold, the off-takers are already South Africans.
Yeah.
Are you changing the contract now so there can be space for some to be processed inside? Uranium, you have already long-term supply with China. Where are you going to find the uranium to process?
Yeah.
So the question, and we are not asking the key questions. The key questions are the institutions and the levels that you need to modify to align with your targets.
Mm.
Go to the banks. Go look through how much are they lending and where are they lending.
Yeah.
60% of the bank's debts are just to fund houses. Then if you are only funding houses, you're not funding the processing and the creation of plastic and steels, then you're not funding industrialization, you're funding consumption.
Yeah.
So, but Mike, the key question is here that we are drafting documents, we are creating visions, but a vision is a useless vision until you surround it with a supporting environment.
Yeah. Mm.
So meaning now within ourselves to for us not to repeat the same mistake, because we have the same strategy. We had what that in the NDP 5 to say we want to industrialize, we want to change the export basket by this and this. But what we didn't do again is that we did not surround the NDP 5 with the environment, with the institutions, with the mechanisms, with the capacity, with the education. We didn't. And if now, because now we are going to wait for the strategies for each pillar in the NDP 6.
Yeah.
We're not going to wait for the strategies. And we are going to avail ourselves, some of us, to say, I also want to contribute. I also want, you know, all of us needed to give advices to national planning on how can we surround NDP 6 with the relevant environment institutions to achieve those targets.
Yeah.
Because if the strategy is not practical enough to tell the bank that we want you every month, 10% of your lending should go to processing.
Yeah.
We have to be deliberate in such a way that Agribank, we want you to fund agro-processing. Agribank have been funding land and land. People are buying land. But guess what? Are those land productive? So now let us move now. People have bought land now. Can we now prioritize agro-processing? Can we now prioritize value addition?
Yeah. So we have this, since you're talking about strategy and policies, we have this ambitious mineral beneficiation strategy from 2021. So 3 years later, what is working? And how effective it has it been? What need to change to make it really work if it hasn't been working?
And the key question still remains. You write a lot. Mike, you can't keep writing and you do not. You know, when you write, we have to make things happen practically. After writing, now gather the team.
Yeah.
Gather a team to say, colleagues, the four of you, the seven of you, this is the capital, this is the people, this is the institution, this is the police. You give it to them. Look, the most ineffective institution is our public sector. If you go to every ministry, they have probably vacancy of more than 200 vacancy, every ministry. They lack technical expertise at the highest level. Now, you expect them now to execute such a high level document.
Yeah.
Number one, they lack skill set. They are not reskilling. These are the colleagues who cannot even implement anything. Then now you expect them to facilitate such a high level document. And I'm not looking down on them. I'm just highlighting. You are writing high level document. And you give them to the same team you gave yesterday, the same team that they failed yesterday. And they didn't fail because they didn't want. No, yeah. They're underskilled. They're understaffed. They have no technology. They have nothing. And again, you expect the people to process tomato paste in Ongediva. Wool process, the VTC in Ongediva have no any courses about the processing. They have nothing. So if you're going to say, no, we're going to set up something in Ongediva for processing, who will come and work there? Who will come? You, the university, you know, whatever, they're all offering teaching and nursing and others. My G, you have to surround the vision with the capabilities.
Yeah.
So now, look, agro-processing in Ongwediva has space, floor space,
yeah,
Amta, for people to process and store. But it we surround it with the skill set.
Mm.
Is Amta able, if me, I'm a farmer from Etunda now, and I want to process my tomato in Amta, then in Ongwediva, can I go to our VTC? And they say, I want the three people who are able to fix an industrial machine.
Yeah.
Nobody. Look, I have a friend of mine who is doing printing today in Ongwediva. He can't find people to fix a printer.
Yeah.
But we have a VTC in Ongwediva.
Yeah.
You see, those are the little things that we are not doing.
Mm.
If we can't even fix printers, my G, like printers, how are you going to fix an industrial machine that processes tomatoes?
Yeah, exactly.
Tomato paste.
Yeah.
So we are writing documents, but we are not surrounding them with the right machinery and people to make them a reality.
Yeah. The other, just to add to probably add to that point, asking that. So do when now the government come up with strategy, let's say, for example, mineral beneficiation strategy, do they align that with other, let's say, for example, the market of in the country, as you just saying, the resources that do our other sectors are included in the plan, or the government just planned this on its own and it doesn't really, let's say, for example, the bank. Now you have all these things that you want to do, but the bank thinks that this is not something that we can support because it doesn't benefit us. Do you understand? So now where are you going to get the money? So you want a processing, let's say, for example, but, you know, you have no market. It's something that you think is something good to have, but there's no market for it. So do the government just design, you know, come up with strategies because they are forced? They found themselves in this situation, or does it really address the issues that we really are facing?
Look, as I said, you have an ED who has been in the ministry for all many years. We recycled in from year to day,
yeah,
and tomorrow they are the same people who are planning. You know, when you are giving an example of Indonesia and others, you had a guy who had the vision.
Mm.
Then he made the practical things. He surrounded himself with people and institutions and systems.
Mm.
Tate Kulwage used to laugh at Tate Kulwage when he say process and institutions and system. And I'm only realizing it now.
Yeah.
That those things, they need to be in place to assist us for us to achieve this.
Yeah.
Do we have systems in place? Do we have institutions in place?
Mm.
When you are drafting any document and the finance institutions are not in, what are you trying to achieve? Look, the market work like this. The market work on information. The flow of information and economy need to be timely and effective. Now, I'm going to give you a brutal example that we just blundered recently on our youth fund.
Yeah.
We rushed many youth funds. Then he had to be saying, we do not know. Then here we have an unpost number saying, we do not know. We are still waiting for information.
Yeah.
Then I'm there having a headache to say, Minister of Finance, when you were drafting,
yeah,
why is TPN not in the room? Why was NAMPOS not in the room?
Yeah.
Now I have instruction that I'm asking and they are telling me we are still waiting for more information. That is where we are getting things wrong in our planning phases.
Yeah.
We have technocrats that are used to a planning where they sit and they go for vacation at the hot barman and they come up with documents. No. We keep repeating the same style or the same thing. We invite ourselves in government and we talk to each other. Then we draft the same document again. We are not learning from that. We are drafting and drafting. Go to government meetings or go to any consultations. You will only find people that are working in government consulting themselves.
Yeah.
So, and when now you're going to bring this product, now you are going to struggle with the buy-in from the bank
exactly.
and from the private sector.
Yeah.
Because you excluded them from the beginning. And you didn't exclude them maybe intentionally. It's just because you keep using the old model. And this is why our bills and our laws take long.
Hmm.
Because you drafted them on your office and you bring it to us. A 200-page document. Now I must read it and give you input. Dude, you're supposed to consult me pillar by pillar when you're starting. It becomes easier.
Yeah.
Now I must read the 200 document. You see, so even our industrialization agenda and aspiration, they come to the private sector in a 200-page document. How many of you are reading?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be breaking it down into parts and we send it to the relevant, that this is our industrialization agenda.
Mm.
We send it to the bank, the department, just perhaps 50 pages. For the agriculture sector, we send it to those that are in the agriculture sector. This is what we are planning.
Mm.
At the early stage as possible, then we can align.
Yeah.
Now you want people to buy in your very thick document. You want them to read and align. That's why in many of our analysts, we are just quoting NDP6. But
yeah.
Ask them, how many of you did read the NDP6?
Yeah.
No, because it's so thick.
Mm.
And it was sent after it was done. Look, my strategy, and let me tell you this. Development Bank of Namibia released their 5-year strategy earlier than NDP6.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that is a miscalculation. It's a miscalculation.
Yeah.
NDP6 was supposed to be released first and influence the development bank strategy.
Yeah.
The same thing for Agribank. Their strategy is supposed to be supporting everything in NDP6.
Mm.
So I'm not saying perhaps they did not include them. I'm just saying, if DBN has released their 5-year strategy 5 months or 6 months or 4 months earlier than NDP6, I find it a bit a miscalculation because
yeah.
that is our DFI,
mm.
Development Finance,
mm.
and is supposed to support the NDP6 at
yeah.
the highest level.
Yeah, and speak to the plan that are in the NDP. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
So that is why we are miscalculating and we are struggling to achieve because now, DBN has to adjust the document. They have to adjust to align with the national document.
Yeah.
I'm not saying maybe that is it. I can be corrected. They can come and correct me. But I'm just saying we cannot be, our biggest FDI is DBN
yeah.
to support infrastructure development and youth and others. But if they are releasing their 5-year strategy earlier, yeah. then the NDPC, then now we are going to be working to try to align things.
Yeah.
I don't know if in DPN 5-year strategy there is a youth fund. Let's go check.
Yeah.
Is there a youth fund there? I know they have a program for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
But are they aligning to the youth fund criteria?
Yeah.
Or we are going to tweak things. So those are some of the little miscalculations when we are planning. There are certain bigger institutions that need to be told in advance so that they can support the agenda at the highest level.
Should be part of the planning from the very beginning because they are part of the machinery that would bring to life what this plan actually. Yeah.
Mm.
So the other thing quickly,
it
just come to my mind now. Why do so many resource-rich countries struggle to move beyond raw material export? Why?
They are not intentional enough.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most simple question. They are not intentional enough. You can't move beyond that if you're not intentional. China is going to tell you that I'm the only one your raw copper.
Yeah.
And if you're not intentional enough, you're going to crawl back and, oh my goodness, okay, well, we can't do anything. Do you know, Namibia was so lucky. I tell people this.
Yeah.
Back then, the North and the Kavango region were producing enough food. We were not depending on government so much. So it was the perfect time for us not to be told what to do by any country because we were food sufficient.
Mm.
So we could have told China, USA, whoever we want, that either you do it our way or you can go to hell.
Mm.
It was the perfect time. But guess what? Now we are borrowing to fund health. We are borrowing to buy food. We are receiving food parcels from sailing the ship. Now our bargaining power is gone. We even went to the IMF. Yeah. Now you have little bargaining power to say, hey, either you move this way or you can take back your money.
Mm.
Now you are too vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it's now going to be very difficult for you to tell USA to go to hell. I'm going to say this directly because they buy up our uranium. You have no bargaining power.
Yeah.
USA control IMF and World Bank, mm. and you are going there to borrow. So your bargaining power to transform your economy is now minimal.
Mm.
And here you have South Africa who is in a corner, and you are within circle. So we need now thinkers. I'm telling you, we need the crazy people in government.
Yeah.
Crazy people, economically crazy, to be able to come up with a different solution.
Mm.
If we are going to use the same technocrats, given the type of tight spot we are in, we are now in a tight spot because of the geopolitical dynamics.
Yeah.
So we need the crazy thinkers to advise government.
Mm.
And we need to strengthen our food security. Once we are able to produce what we can eat, we will and again be able to buy our medication, we will be okay to make some decisions.
Mm.
And I can say the move by Madam President to appoint the commission at the national planning, I think is one of the beautiful moves.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the team. It's a crazy different type of team. And I'm hoping these people are going to inject a new fresh of ideas.
Yeah.
Because the existing technocrats I'm sorry, it's becoming too difficult for them to maneuver. They have been in a system, they've been using the same model of planning and everything, and we did not get anything.
Mm.
When it pains me when I'm hearing a minister who has been in government say, yes, Namibia need to electrify. I'm like, dude, who are you telling?
Yeah.
Dude, you're in the government. Who are you telling? We need to add value. I'm like, dude, who are you telling?
So, and this is exactly something that I always say when I'm listening to a minister or a government officials who, the way they speak is actually suggesting rather than actually telling me, when are we going to do this? You know?
It's the model that they use.
Yeah.
That is what you can see. There is no change.
Mm.
Yeah. I met Nekundi. We went to his office. Nekundi brought his technocrats in the room. Then as soon as we asked a question,
yeah.
he called somebody. Why is that not done?
Yeah.
Not where, no, we are going to do things. No. He asked, Meme, why is that not done?
Mm.
Can we do it tomorrow? Can we change it? I think if they can adopt such a model,
mm.
we can achieve things.
Yeah.
This and I think every minister must come with his technocrat in a room all the time and answer publicly, why is that not done?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we do it tomorrow? Tell the public, can we do it tomorrow? Can we change that? Because I've realized there are so many things that can be changed,
mm.
but we do not know because the technocrats in government are just sleeping. So I appreciated the format Nekundi took that day to say, no, I found here around 10 billion worth of unpaid receipts
yeah.
or tenders, interest, just because a slight document has been missing and people cannot meet. You see, it's possible to change things.
Yeah.
We just need a new, fresh of blood in our technocrats. Not always ministries, it's the technocrat because those people are key
yeah.
to moving forward. A political minister, that is just a statement. It depends on the team that he has because it's really, really possible to transform things.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. But yeah, you need to have the systems, the institutions, and the capacity and the team to do what is NDP6. NDP6 is crazy. I love it.
Yeah.
It gives me adrenaline. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But do we have the institutions? Are we willing to treat the system? Are we willing to talk friendly to yeah. each other to say, colleagues, there you are failing?
So you just,
can we improve the end?
Yeah, you just mentioned about to transform, and we have so many different minerals and also other resources. So maybe diamond, lithium, copper, uranium. So we can't do everything at once, you know?
No, we can't.
Which mineral makes the most sense now when we look at this? Which one would make more sense to start with local to start with for local processing, for example? The only example what I'm always looking at is that maybe let's say look at fishing, you know, fish, you know, when you think maybe diamond or other uranium, maybe setting up your processing plant would be more expensive. It asks a lot of, but what about fish? You know, so we still actually exporting, you know, raw fish. Eh?
Mm.
So now when we're looking at all these minerals and resources, so which one makes sense, you know, to start with for local processing?
There are a couple of them that make sense.
Mm.
And I will say this, it will only make sense if you know the reserve you have.
Yeah.
You cannot set up a manufacturing plant when you do not know the reserve that you have.
Mm.
So, like now, we didn't know how much gold we have. Do you know that? Because we don't have the information, only B2Gold and others.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, one of the latest announcement by B2Gold is that their current hubby or something like that they are releasing today or yesterday shows that there is a bigger reserve of something
yeah.
of gold.
Yeah.
Now you start the planning, because back then we're being told we cannot build a gold refinery here. That's why we exported to the gold, to the Rand refinery in South Africa, because our reserve was low.
Yeah.
Now we are being told by so, this colleague know, that
we're going to come to yeah. that quickly. We have an advert quickly. Yeah. Mm.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, no, we were looking at which mineral makes the most sense to start with for local processing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm saying that there are a couple of them that we can do.
Yeah.
But let us do it this way. I want to repeat this. You cannot start manufacturing when you do not have or you do not know your source of supply. It's all about the input.
Mm.
The guy or the people from who are mining our gold, there were a conversation, I think, 2 months ago, 3 months, that Namibia cannot build a refinery because the reserves are not sufficient enough.
Yeah.
Now there is new information, and our exploration of the new whatever something of gold is even ranked high in terms of reserve. Now that type of information now can prompt that from mines. Who is the Tate from mines? The deputy minister. Can he, the prime minister. Can he summon, not someone, can he invite the colleagues of the gold, of the gold mines and get a map of how big is this reserve?
Yeah.
If this reserve is bigger like this, what is the probability of us now building a refinery?
Mm.
Because back you were telling us that it was impossible because what we are mining now is less and it does not make a commercial sense to add value here. Now, how about this one? That is how you start.
Yeah.
You don't scream, let us do a refinery. No, let us look now. Because they announced it globally that our current finding is bigger.
Yeah.
Now, let us do some calculation to see. Then we can now build the gold refinery.
Mm-hmm.
The first off taker is who? It's our Bank of Namibia. Because they have decided that they're also going to back up our currency with gold. So you have already the biggest off taker. So you have to bring all this institution in the room so that you can pave a very sustainable plan that you can support the refinery. They have already the first off taker, Bank of Namibia.
Yeah.
It's not only Bank of Namibia that they've announced. Then we can also talk to Zambia. We can also talk to Botswana. That, okay, we are going to build our own refinery. Maybe you're also looking to back up your currency.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have US off takers? Then once you do that, then you can now go back to B2 Gold, whoever, and tell them, we can get you 4 or 3 clients if you can do a gold refinery here.
Yeah.
So we need to plan in such a way, not screaming and making a political statement. Let us advise. No, plan like that. Now, the second one, we have calcium or lithium.
Yeah.
NamPower is building a battery energy storage. What type of battery energy storage are they building? Does it use cobalt, manganese, or lithium? Because we built a processing thing that was being operated by the Chinese.
Yeah.
But who are the off-takers? And I do not even know if it's operational. I asked the Minister of Mine, they couldn't give me an answer. So then we can plan in such a way to say, if we are going to refine our lithium, 20% is going to go to someone to build a battery because NamPower is going to need that battery.
Yeah.
So you have to build the whole supply and value chain plan for that specific mineral, not for you to process and send somewhere first. You have to start internally and look within SADC and all that. Look, Magnus is coming from South Africa. And we send it raw as it is.
Mm.
Cobalt is coming from DRC in Zambia. So when you map out such a supply system, then you can now decide which one to process. Because the rest, I can find them in SADC. And I can complement it to make it easier for anybody to add value here.
Yeah.
And we have few of takers here and there. Our problem, we want to mineral beneficiate so that we can export it to the EU market.
Yeah.
And the EU market do not want our process the thing. They only want it raw. So at least secure a 30% market within Africa, within SADC.
Mm.
You see? So we have to start planning in such a way by looking at the supply chain, the off-takers, and the market that exists among ourselves, within ourselves, and around SADC. Because SADC is the easiest to sell, given the free trade area within SADC.
Mm.
You see, so you have to start here.
Mm. You mentioned something here that's very important. If I'm an investor, you know, would I be interested to have whatever minerals I'm investing in processed locally? Would that actually benefit me, or would it benefit me when it's actually export raw?
Look. As an investor, all I want is money, my guy.
Yeah.
We have two types of investors.
Mm.
I look at the returns that I'm going to get if I process here. I'm also looking at the environment you're going to create for me.
Yeah.
Look, companies are flexible to move to areas where the environment is beautiful for them to do whatever they need.
Mm.
They don't care where they are going to sell. Where I'm going to sell is my problem, not yours.
Yeah.
For you, I just wanted to give me a conducive environment for me to produce whatever I produce. And it will be a bonus even if you connect me to 2 clients, that is okay.
Mm.
But the first thing I need you to do, Minister of Mines, give me a space to do what I can do more competitive than anywhere else. That is it. That's all I need from you.
Mm.
Where I can sell my product, I don't care. Even if USA add 15% tariff, when I'm producing things cheaply and safely and the infrastructure in place, I'll not worry. I'll take that. I'll say, okay, because you gave me this beautiful environment, I'll take up the cost of the tariff on myself and I'll keep selling to USA.
Mm.
So that is how we have to do things. That's how we have to think.
Mm.
What can we give to those Namibian investors who want to do this? Mm. And I'm telling you, there are people who want to do things. Look, the man next to you, Tata Madira, I want you to walk there. Those buildings just push low in your push low Eagle FM. Just go in and you tell.
I know him, yeah. Mm.
No, now you know him. Now I'm going this. But until I went inside what is in the building, machine, every redundant dialogue, we're not working. Why? We didn't give that Madira what he deserved.
Mm.
Now he has machines lying idle. Why? Because we didn't give him and his company what he deserved to produce.
Yeah.
Now he's only producing a few things. Imagine if we can say that Madira, what does Rwama need to go back to your existing production?
Yeah.
And then he has 5 buildings. Dude, don't talk about foreign investors come to process. We have guys there that are, we're processing and willing to process.
Yeah.
The key question is this. What do they need from us? And this is where our politicians are failing. They are not going there.
Mm.
Go, don't go with your media and with your 200 people. No, just go to Rwama. Don't invite NBC. Just go and go understand. Our politicians are not understanding what people need. Why? Because they go visit the places for 1 hour and give a speech.
Yeah.
No, keep quiet. Don't give a speech. Take a pen and a paper and go to Rwama. Go inside this building and see what they have and what can be done. Then you get to understand what does Rwama need. This dude is able to produce steel for us. Now we are producing iron in Erongo, but Rwama need iron.
Yeah.
Rwama need iron actually for us to make steel.
And purchasing it is more expensive from somewhere else actually. Mm.
Now we are taking off-takers from Toyota, from Japan. Mm. But Rwama can also be an off-taker for high iron.
Mm.
Because that dude has machines there.
Yeah.
That we can process iron and produce the metal that we need.
Yeah.
But the kicker is, so our industrialization dream in NDP6, it means going to Rwama and giving him what we need, what he needs, because he's already the machine and he's willing.
Mm.
But if we do not talk to the people who are willing to process in an honest manner, we will not achieve what is NDP6.
Yeah. So the other thing is energy. Energy is key for any heavy industries. Do you think, the current power supply is holding us back from processing mineral locally? And any other factory that we may want to set up?
I don't think it is.
Mm.
It is the main reason. Nobody's coming to the cost of electricity as it is.
Yeah.
And guess what? I was reading, what is the deputy prime minister again? What is his name?
The prime minister, the
Ithete. Yeah. The Ithete.
Mm.
They were celebrating electrifying Kavango region, something.
Yeah.
I'm laughing like, guys, electrifying is one thing. Connecting me to the grid when I cannot afford the power is it's a waste of resources. It's just like you're building Nekatal Dam, but you can't use Nekatal Dam.
Yeah.
So you see, we celebrate petty things that have nothing to move us forward. I'm sorry to say this. We have been celebrating electrification. We have electrification strategy in place to electrify 250 households. But colleagues, it's not just about electrifying and connecting me to an electricity line. It's about how commercial I can use this electricity to do what I need.
Yeah.
What is the use of you celebrating electrifying Kavango and Kavango green scheme can't work because of electricity? And this is where now even in the technocrat that are advising the men, we're supposed not to be screaming about this.
Mm.
Because it's embarrassing. It won't work electrifying Kavango and the green scheme that is already electrified can't work because electricity is expensive. So even our media now, electrifying, wishing hope or giving hope to Kavango. I'm just there like, So you see, it's the people that we have from the media to the technocrats.
Yeah.
we need to understand, what does it take to industrialize? Making energy cheaper is very, very important. And the other day I was looking at our stock exchange. NAMPOWER is not borrowing from the stock exchange. They're not borrowing, but they have a bond scheme there to access capital. Mm. They have government guarantees. Why are they not borrowing? You ask yourself this question. Mm. Government raised $2 billion in a week to give to NAMPOWER. Why can NAMPOWER borrow themselves and fund the generation and the grid expansion? So you have to ask yourself, which one is more important? Now government is borrowing to fund electrification while there is a big gap when it comes to generation. Mm.
So my
issue is that we, all of us, especially those ones that are very critical, including the media, we need to be speaking the same language. Mm. We need to hammer, why is NAMPOWER not borrowing using government guarantee and fund large-scale energy generation project?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Mm.
That is a key question. Now we are here, no, we can't produce enough electricity. The first question, and Mike, I'm in a space where you need, where you meet investors. That is the space where I mostly am.
Mm.
And the key question I get is that, how is your energy? How is your energy? Even last week I was there on the table shaking because I know I'm lying.
Yeah.
It's expensive here when it comes to electricity.
Exactly, yeah. The other thing is, it's beyond power. What about water? Processing mineral uses a huge amount of water in a dry country like Namibia. So how do we solve that puzzle?
Look, NAMWATER is doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I ask, the only missing thing I don't hear from them, they are talking about potable. This is my concern.
Yeah.
Now we have connected the 3 villages, the pipe to what? Okay, cool, it's okay. Does it include the commercial water?
Mm.
That is my key question. I'm seeing them doing beautiful work.
And when it comes
work.
Now to processing, you know?
You need the commercial water, bro.
Yeah.
You need the commercial large-scale supply. So we need to ask them, when you are talking about this, all these pipes going to Ontegonime, can I set up a green scheme in Ontegonime?
Yeah.
Let us ask them that question, because I don't want to say they are not doing something. No, they are revamping Oshakati, processing Rundu. Okay, great. Can I set up a manufacturing, like even in Abato?
Yeah.
Even in Abato, you can have the Abato. Akalongi Fomeva. Can I set up an Abato in Oshakati that use water? And will it be affordable? Okay, now. Okay, NAMWATER. What is my friend? That a lot.
Yeah.
Otang expand, you are expanding the Oshakati, whatever processing. I want you to tell me, if I buy that abattoir, if I buy it today, will water not going to be a problem?
Mm.
You have now expanded the processing. Am I able to buy now cheaper water from Oshakati? That is a key question. It's not about celebrating you expanding. It's about making the production affordably. Is water not going to be affordable?
Mm.
We are expanding the canal now to 150 kilometers going into Angola. Is that going to make production, commercial water, cheaper? That is a key question.
Yeah.
So that's why now we, the media, need to ask a question. Not all this headline, NAMWATER expand. Will that improve processing or for those who are going to add value in Oshakati and Wediva? Will those make it cheaper for my people in Omsati who are actually irrigating? Is water going to be cheaper? So those are the key questions we need to ask, because we are seeing a lot of news from NAMWATER.
Yeah.
Apart from the desalination in the cost, that one definitely the mines are going to benefit bigger and we should move faster. Mm. But colleagues, we now need the Kavango regions, the northern region, to build the manufacturing plants, to employ people. People need to stop moving from the north going to Erongo.
Yeah.
And one of the key things is that commercial water. So Tate Lotu need to come and tell us the pipes you are building to Mzegonini, to wherever, can I build, can I use to irrigate at a commercial level? And if that is the case, then voila, thank you, Nam Water.
Yeah.
If not, guys, potable water is just potable water. It's no more about access to clean water, guys.
Yeah.
It's access to clean water and to commercial water.
Yeah. So the
it should be together.
The the government also talks about private partner, private the public-private partnerships. So, but what does Namibia realistically really bring to the table for now? Now, for let's say, for example, for international investors, you know, when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's not only international; it's even local.
Yeah.
The triple P policy is just there gathering dust. We even have a unit in our Minister of Finance. Yeah, there is one guy I see on LinkedIn, very, very active, but talking about Look, as I said, you cannot create a triple P unit that has four people or five people.
Yeah.
If you, I can give you an example. For a project to be assessed to be deemed PP ready, the process that need to be followed, the assessment, it's so technical, my dear.
Yeah.
Most of SOEs have no capability to do it. Now, if you have a triple P team in the Ministry of Finance and it has no team, then how will you succeed?
Hmm.
A triple P project need project manager, need investment manager, need people who understand risk.
Yeah.
To make that the project feasible for government to go in. Because remember, it's a sharing of responsibility. It's a sharing of risk and it's a sharing of capital.
Yeah.
So government need to go in when there's a good understanding of the risk that they are taking and it's which model, build and own or which one. So you need a team of people who understand.
Yeah.
Look, even the bank, do you know that all the banks have their unit that deal with investment or financing a project, preparing a project.
Mm.
FNB have RMB. Why? Because they know getting a project ready for financing is the most complicated thing. Now your unit of triple P is five people, while FNB is the whole team of experts. Will it work?
Yeah.
Now you understand.
Mm.
So it will not get to such a level until you build a team of people who have the capacity to make things happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll remain dreaming about it. Because a lot of local people are willing to work. A lot of local people are willing to work with government and share the risk to build the project or to build or to invest in infrastructure, certain project.
Yeah. So now, if you had to choose three practical steps Namibia now should take right now to boost mineral processing, what would they be?
I just don't want mineral processing alone.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Everything. Mm. We need to take a step back a bit. We need to take a step back. Beyond the drafting documents, let us do proper assessment. Proper assessment need to be made. Proper assessment need to be made. Once this proper assessment are made, then we make decisions.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we understand a market for everything that we want to create. We are using big terms, mineral beneficiation, agro-process. Those are big terms.
Yeah.
When you're talking about mineral beneficiation, there was a very good simple study done looking at the mineral that you have. Let us not go that far anymore.
Mm.
We are now producing green iron. What else can we do with green iron?
Mm.
Look, you cannot industrialize without steel. No. Now we have iron.
Mm.
So how do we beneficiate iron further? We go to high iron. High iron, right now, they are looking for off-takers. They are looking for off-takers. Mm. And it's actually the best it's actually the best timing for us to do iron beneficiation because we are producing it.
Yeah.
So now you bring everyone at the table. You bring the academic, you bring high iron, and we now started to beneficiate. I mean, to talk a beneficiation conversation.
Yeah.
What can we produce here? Is it still? Is it what? Is it what? Because we have production, because high iron is even planning it to expand. So it's even the best time to talk about high iron beneficiation because you are producing it and the company is expanding. So now you just have to study the whole value chain. What can we do with iron?
Yeah.
What other input do we have? Can we get it in Namibia? Can we get into the region? So that is the type of strategy. Then you now bring the team in place. You now look at local companies that are willing to do the work. You now look at your vocational, the type of people that you have. So the is the strategy that needs to be done differently. And no more planning. Like, just go straight to strategy because iron is already being produced.
Yeah.
It's the model that we need to pick of. How do we plan and how do we strategize and where do we start and what do we have? So it's no more just about giving work to national planning to plan things. No, those are economies that are sitting there. Let's do things differently.
Yeah.
We also include the banks. We also include everybody, the DBN, so they can understand the funding mechanisms that are available and how they can deploy their capital.
Yeah.
Look, when Deep Marine built their biggest ship, whatever, or vessel, it was funded by three banks. I think it was Standard Bank and others to bring $7 billion together. And the Deep Marine didn't just go there and to say, I'm building. No, they started a long time ago that we are building the biggest vessel.
Yeah.
Because we are moving marine now. The diamonds are in the ocean. We have been extracting this and this amount of diamonds. And we think if we expand our vessel, we're able to extract more. So then Standard Bank and others came together to fund. So you see how it was all planned. Now we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We are producing iron and we wanted to produce steel in Namibia. We go to South Africa to get a whole plate of steel and we come and cut here.
Yeah.
So we want to do it here. In terms of electricity, so our plan by the next 5 years, we are able to produce 70%. And it's going to be cheaper for you to produce steel here.
Yeah.
We just need this type of funding. So it's now going to be a very, very different type of model that you need to do if you want to do beneficiation of any mineral or add value to anything.
Yeah. And lastly, just when you talk about that, looking at feasibility, what makes now either mineral or any other resources viable for beneficiation? Would it be technology? Would it be a scaling up? Would it be a market demand? What would make that mineral viable for beneficiation in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a lot of factors, just not one. But the first thing is that, as I said earlier, the availability of the input. What do you need to beneficiate? And when you say beneficiation, to what extent are you going? Putting uranium in drums is not beneficiation. No. Our iron, we are now getting the ore and we are processing it to an iron that can be used in industrial.
Yeah.
There is some level of beneficiation. But now we want to move further to say we produce some sort of steel or some finished product.
Yeah.
What can be needed to complement the iron to produce a metal bar, whatever. So, yes, the demand matter. The input to complement the beneficiation matter. Where are you going to get it? Is it the country willing to give it to you? And also the environment, the ability to produce that internal, the skill set. So it's a factor, it's a whole matrices, matrix. It's a whole component of factors that you have to put together. And they must make commercial sound.
Yeah.
They must convince somebody to risk capital. Once you tell them the input we can get, we can secure, we have a deal with Zambia. Our government is an agreement to get that. Our electricity is going to be cheaper for you. This. The land is available in while we're buying in our special economic zone. In terms of supply, we are going to, in terms of you, we are also going to reduce our export levy for you to be able to export anyway. If the internal and the whatever demand is not enough. So you have to give a package to an investor to be able to do beneficiation for you.
Yeah. Oh, that has been... That has been almost an hour. So we're not going to end this way. So just for him to probably say goodbye and the last word. So, yeah, just stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
All right. Nino, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, sir.
Okay, good. I just didn't want you to go, to go that way. So now, finally, really, if you were advising a young Namibian today, what skill would you tell them actually to develop for this changing economy?
Yeah, it's a very complex one.
Yeah.
It's a very complex one. But until, like, for, let me say an example of green hydrogen. The and its derivatives. When they did whatever they did, they have also assessed the type of skill set required.
Yeah.
So that is the type of direction that I want our government to do, like for NDP6, when they're going to draft the strategy. So the strategy is going to tell us what is going to be done and how is it going to be done and the type of skill set. And like that now, analysts like me are able to tell them that for the next 5 years, government is going to build the feedlot.
Yeah.
They need people who can do this and this and this according to that.
Yeah.
Now, in line with our economic development, it's very difficult for me to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying, yeah, go cold, go what? But the national agenda. Is the national agenda supposed to guide us in the type of the skill set that we can tell the kids? But yes, I can tell them, please don't go study nursing anymore in education because there are a lot. Yes, that one is clear. And also, there is now green hydrogen and derivative which is coming, and they need this type of skill set. And there is a wind farm being built in Luderd. A wind farm being built. And our vocational training is not offering anything on technical to fix a wind vane or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
That is something worth taking up. But do we have it? Nope, we don't.
Mm.
So the type of skill set need to be guided by your national agenda.
Mm.
The sectoral development that are going on. Like that it would be easier for me to talk to kids and tell them this is the direction, these are the sectors that are growing. Agriculture can't say anything because the agronomic are also leaving, going to study education.
Yeah.
Because the green schemes are not hiring and they are not expanding.
Mm.
So the type of investment the government is making in the national agenda and the support to sectoral in are the one that can guide what type of skill set that do you need. Otherwise, you can go tell the kid to go do this. Then government tomorrow decided, we are no more going to give you the type of support. Like now for diamond.
Mm.
Back then, we were telling people to go learn how to polish diamond. and cut. But now the sector is facing some issues. And until government announce themselves for the type of support they're going to give, we are expecting retrenchment from those companies very soon. So you see, it's a bit complex, but it's about to clarity in terms of policy, in terms of direction at the national level, that it can tell us that please go this direction because this is where the country is going, is where the investment is coming. But even if investment comes in and there is no government support, the sectors will not be built.
You know, thank you so much for sharing your insight today, this morning. And thank you for helping our listener better understand these critical economic challenges facing our nation. So, and thanks for having you this morning.
Thank you so much for so talking to me and listening to, my village economics.
No, good. Thanks a lot. Okay.
All right, man.
Bye. All right, and that's our, let's put this down, and that's our in-house economist, Nino Minavali Erastus, giving us that, helping us, giving us that insightful information, you know. So let's get to the line open up now. Very good morning to you.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, man.
Mm.
Oh, well said by Kanjevo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As always, yeah.
I'm telling you, and those are people we need. I don't know why even our government, sometimes they don't pick people in the street.
Yeah.
Like other, we saw it in the other country, they are doing it. Where they can see that this person is having a potential, come into our ministry. Then you'll be even as a democratic or whatever they call it, giving direction to the people how to go. Because
it doesn't even to be in the ministry. These are the consultants that you need, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
just a consultant, that's the thing.
Exactly, you know?
Now, if you look at how long we've been for 35 years, but I'm telling my brother, look how how many achievements we achieve so far. It's like we are even going back where you see the country was taking off.
Yeah.
And I see some people are even complaining like, no, these people are not supportive even to what? To classify Namibia as a middle income country.
Yeah.
Back there we are doing better. And now we are doing mostly worse. Because our in our days, we never see any kid carrying a chair to go to school. But this is happening in 2000 something.
Yeah.
Where the kids have to carry their chair to go to school.
Yeah. But one thing you mentioned is that, we're not changing anything if you're using the same, autocrat.
People.
You know, so if you say the same people and it's like
same,
insanity. When you say insanity, it's like, you know, you're doing the same thing hoping that you get a different result. You know?
But
you need to change that. You know?
Yeah,
so I think
you know, Mike, the thing is that we are looking at the ID, those which are there, the ED. They've been there for more than 15 years, but you can see this person is not bringing any results. Why should you keep rotating this person? Shifting one post to the another. Will we still have potential people who are doing it in the private sector?
There should be a contract based on performance, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, 10 years the maximum, or whatever, 5 years.
5 years. Renewable. If you are not performing, and then if you can renew, if we know that you are performing. If you are not performing, go.
Renewable. So then if you haven't performed, then you go. Yeah.
Exactly. Why should you keep a person because of what? But you're still having people around in the street who are having potential.
Yeah.
But we are not giving them a chance at all. It's what I'm saying. The problem of our country is that when I'm looking at even Kanjengo, I think he touched something when he come to vocation.
Yeah.
You know, these are backbone. And we learn from Germany how they in their country. Mm. They start using vocation. But in our situation is that we are more in theory. People who study theory, they are more than given a chance.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
The money goes too much to those who are doing theory rather than
theory. Actually, I'm telling you. Yeah. Go to VTC, they are even lacking machine.
Yeah.
They don't have enough machine to train the student. Mm. But I'm telling you, go to the NASA and the what? UNAM. All the equipment are there, computers and you name it, whatever they are doing.
Mm.
Yeah, the module are there, but you go to the what? VTC. They are still using the module with after 15 years. They are still using the same thing.
Actually, after 20, just imagine. After 20 or 30 years, not 15.
Yeah, after. Yeah. Mm. You see, and the things are changing every day.
Yeah.
What we are producing, even the VTC, is not what the market needed. When it comes to industry, it's not needed anymore because you are still out of date.
Mm.
And the people are moving on with a new technology and with things are coming up. And then now we are targeting what? Everybody's talking about green hydrogen. What are we preparing for a green hydrogen if you are just talking, but we are not even training our people?
Yeah.
Is that hard to take a professor from Germany instead of us to send our students to Germany? Bring them here, train our people, and we take over.
Mm.
Because we'll be what? How do we say, you know, this is understudy.
Yeah, understudy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But the problem is that our country, I don't know who's thinking. I don't know. All of the earlier, you can name it, man. Where we even spend so much money, it's where we are doing the most waste.
Mm.
Check it, our hospital. It's a mess, but we spend a lot of money when it comes to budget. So look at our education. It's really a mess. There's nothing much we are producing that you see now. Tomorrow, our students, they are able to do anything.
Mm.
Why we never adapted up to now? Why we cannot adapt the way of Zimbabwean? If we are so proud, we can use them now. They are the ones who are even taking up the space of what? Of our students when it comes to teaching and the nurse.
Yeah.
They are there. Up to now, they are still being recruited by our ministry, but we know we are having a lot of kids in the street.
Okay. Let's see how many other people will come through.
All right, my brother.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Mm. Very good morning to you. Our telephone number, 08, our line is now open now. It's open now. We really, really, really covered quite a number of area. I wanted to tap into Mr. Kanjengo's knowledge and expertise, which he have done quite brilliantly. So our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So we were looking at what does Namibia need to do? What does Namibia need to process minerally and other resources, our other things as well, locally? So that's what we were looking at, and we look at a number of area or aspect. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
We're all right. Mm.
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you very much for Kanjoka Kwanyoka for coming.
Yeah.
It has been quite a long since I heard from him.
He's around.
I know he's around. But I'm just saying that I'm very grateful that he came.
Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate a lot of what he has said, and they are correct. Maybe just a little bit of interrogation.
Yeah.
Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, in terms of misalignment,
yeah,
there are areas where really you can really see that there are no alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And our intention and the intention of each and every one of us is that, yes, the alignment is really put into proper perspective.
Yeah.
In terms of internal or institutional arrangement. So you know very well that from the time when we attain our independence,
yeah,
there has been generations, generations, and generations coming.
Yeah.
Elizabeth put it very well that yes, there is this Bonfrey, this what, this other one, up to this stage.
Mm.
It's true that public and private partnership, those platforms that are there, many people don't turn up, actually. It's true.
Mm.
And I'm not so sure whether it's true that...
it hasn't been explored much better as it should have been as well. Yeah.
Which one is that?
The public partnership. I think that it hasn't been explored to the level where it should have, you know.
It is very difficult to get you people on the board.
Yeah.
So people don't attend meeting, whether it's of that higher level. Even at our platform, just to organize a meeting, stakeholder meeting, engagement, people don't attend. Yeah. Few people attend. The government, of course, might make some effort to attend because they always have representatives. The non-governmental organization, institution, private, very hard to get them.
Yeah.
Unless the meeting is shared by the prime minister, perhaps they do. So, and the other thing is that it's true, people don't attend meeting. Kanjogangwa Nyoga knows himself.
Yeah.
Even when you say public meeting, make it at NAMPOWER. And NAMPOWER, in terms of electrification, rural electrification, they have what they called independent power producer. And I'm very happy for Kanjogangwa Nyoga to point out that they are not even borrowing from Namibia Security Exchange.
Mm.
If they are not doing that, it's a great disappointment, actually. It is because the people, yesterday we were talking about people who have got only the access to the banking, the basic banking system, transactions, accounts or whatever.
Mm.
But in terms of Namibia Security Exchange, which is provided there, people are not benefiting. The majority, the vulnerable people who are in the commercial institutions, who are banking there, who have money, who have got funds there that are being utilized by those who call themselves commercial, they can only collateralize the people in, here in town, urban area, in the rural area, you can't do a project and things like that. You have problem of security.
Mm.
So I am saying now, that yes, it's true. Those are some of the big challenges. And I know, these are things that are there, but the structures are there. The legal framework is there.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's ourselves. Because when we say things like that, we are saying as if there are no legal framework, nothing is permitting you to penetrate in that industry or in that area.
A legal framework are there. I think the government have done exceptionally well. When it comes to legal framework, the government always have done this exceptionally
well. Yeah, you are right. Even when the funding, for example, now, if the electrification, I understand it's true. Some of those villages, homes, they can be crusted. And say, fine, if you want to make it more commercial and you put in your village or two villages there are power panels. The Kavango ones, which is there, that is put there, those panels and all this election of those power facilities.
Mm.
I am sure there are few people who can come up and put their fridge there and even start selling fish. We need to electrify the rural area, not only because of commercial, because of the social benefit that is there. So if you just look at the commercial, and then we might also move away from the human standard kind of development approach. Because we just want to make money, commercial, it's fine. But when you talk about the money, for those people who are in the rural, in the urban area, are they not the capital, the assets that you can rely on, and they are there? You mentioned about that. So thank you very much, Mike. I don't know whether you have a question. You wanted to ask me a question, but I interjected.
No. I just wanted to confirm, to say, well, the government have a social responsibility to the people as well, to provide that electricity. So
what about our obligation, our social obligation, our legal obligation as masters, as pigeons?
Yeah. So as I said, if
you cannot take up those opportunities that are infrastructure that are there, I know they might not be sufficient, but what are we doing? What are we doing to ourselves or to our nation?
Yeah. So I said, no, I was just confirming to say when it's not only commercial, I was just confirming with you to say, yes, the government has a social responsibility also to provide that service. Yeah.
And in terms of, toward your information, you see, and these are some of the area where I think they are also neglecting. So anyway, thank you very much for Kanjo Kampanyuka for highlighting that value addition. You know, people, everything that you get from the green iron production, it is for us to increase our capacity, because we know buildings are taking place, construction are taking place here. I don't know, maybe we have to organize ourselves and get those people who are at the, wherever.
Yeah.
From every sector and profession. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
All right. My telephone number, 0833-66091.
You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine. Sorry, Mike.
It has been a while.
Has it not just been about 3 weeks? You know, the last time I came in,
normally you have those usual suspects, and when you think, where are the usual suspects, you know?
Yeah. No, Mike, the last time I was here, I called in regarding BIPA.
Yeah.
I had a gripe, and I can't really say to you, Mike, what you were talking about, a comment, because as it's been, yeah, you guys, you're not broadcasting here at the coast, and sometimes your app is not working as well. I don't think it's working today.
Oh, you're also breaking up the part where you come on and off. But okay, just go on. Maybe that will change. Anonymous.
The most ish. I just went into it. The people suffering the most are actually people in the Rongo.
Yeah.
And we are suffering at the hands of the municipality and the politics being played here. Because you know that this is a municipality that is run by, what is this, what are they called again? This other political party. And, you know, I think that we the people are the ones who are suffering. When the elephants are fighting, the grass suffers.
Mm.
So we need that visibility, please. We need you guys to come here and to really make your presence felt, because you do have the support in Walvis Bay.
Yeah.
But I want to again come back just to remind you and say something about BIPA. You've been hearing them making a noise and so on about they're going to deregister people and so on. A lot of the companies that are out there are companies that are, you know, like for instance, there are houses that are registered in companies, so CCs. So you will buy a house that is registered in the CC.
Yeah.
And then that house is, you know, connected to maybe a bond at a bank.
Yeah.
If they deregister those type of businesses, what happens? What happens to the asset of the assets of the company. Mm-hmm. Does the bank lose the asset? What happens? Whose responsibility would it be then in that case? Is it the bank that's a responsible entity? Because technically the bank has the ownership over the house until you pay off the bond. Mm. Or maybe the business property or whatever it is, whatever the asset may be, right? And I want to know from BIPA, what then? Have they thought this through?
Yeah.
Because as I said last time, BIPA is one of the most useless organizations ever.
Yeah.
And there's a problem with doing it the way that they are doing it. If you say as government, you say we want jobs to be created in the private sector. If you say only in government, that's something else. That's something within your hands. You can create any sort of new useless agency like BIPA, for instance. You can just invent them.
Mm-hmm.
You take a department in a ministry and then you start, you know, you make them an entity now that's going to operate apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know how the BIPA is supposed to make money. It's only supposed to make money by making it more difficult for us to do business. Business, you know, you've heard the adage that says, you know, it's business, nothing personal. It's not true.
But if the company is dormant, how does that affect BIPA or any?
Hang on. I will come to that. I will come to that also. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they say that business is not nothing personal. It's just business. That's a lie. Business is 100% personal.
Mm.
100% personal. There is no such thing as impersonal business.
Yeah.
You don't, the way you do business is by being personal.
Mm.
Business is you, right? Your business represents you.
Yeah.
It is who you are. It's not an entity unto its own. It is you. And when you go out and there's somebody that is putting stumbling blocks, or even if you go, and this has happened to me, I'm not going to lie. You go and you look at a bank, and maybe that time your cash flow is really low, right? Or you've got orders that are outstanding. In other words, you know, the people have not paid for the order to be initiated yet. And then you go to a bank and the bank says no, right?
Yeah.
That thing is very personal, because when they say no to you and you come to, and you come then, you, what they are saying, no, we are not gonna, we don't believe in you. We don't believe in your business, and we want nothing to do with you. That's what it means, you know? So it's very, very personal. When a business comes, when an entity comes up and they say, no, you have not registered. You did not exist 5 years ago. Or how long? There are 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
You did not exist 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and now you want me to back pay, and you want me to pay you for what?
I think just make a point on that one, because that's not really what we are discussing. So just also make a point.
But what I'm trying to get at is that this particular government, you see, each one of them, we had Tatesem, we had Buhamba, we had Hatadehage, we had now Menetumbo, right? We had them. Each one comes with their things, and each one we know their limitations. This one here is part of the new establishment. This is a test to say, what are they going to do? If BIPA is allowed to continue and to exist and to do what it's doing, all that's going to happen in silence is that businesses will be deregistered. Some people will take it personally.
There are a lot already that have been deregistered. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all of these things that are going to happen, we take it personally. And the only thing that, you know, a private business owner can do is you can just say, okay, take the loss. Take it on your chin and move on and find either a new playground, which means you move out of the country, or you refuse to do business, formal business at least. So that is my take. My take is that when it comes to BIPA, BIPA should be disbanded. It should be deregistered. It should be reduced. Even if there are 100,000 businesses that are registered, but they're not operating, right? That is far better than what they are proposing. So what if there are 100,000 businesses that are registered? So what? What does it mean? That's my take.
Yeah. All right, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. I think the problem with me is you deregister when you do assessment, do some kind of assessment, where now maybe you see, well, there's no way that you're going to be able to, you know, to function anymore. And I don't know what are you losing, you know, when a company is dormant. So, all right. So, yeah. So we are looking at what does Namibia need to process mineral locally. And as we know, for many years, Namibia's economy has been really powered by digging valuable minerals out of the country, out of the ground, and shipping them to overseas. So the question is looking at now, how can we shift from just exporting a raw material or raw mineral to building a strong local processing capabilities. And with Kanjengo, with Ngino, we have really, really looking at different different aspect and provide quite a useful, quite insightful information on how to go about this and what are the challenges and opportunities in actually going doing this. So our telephone number 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So yeah, do come through and have your say, have your comment, have your reaction. So that's the number to dial, 0833-66091, and we are live from Ontango Studio.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konoraje tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Our time is 15 minutes to the hour of 10. So you are most welcome to come through as well. So 15 minutes. Should I go into something else? From our discussion, the path from raw material export to domestic processing clearly is not that simple. It's not that simple. And what give us hope is that with the right policies, infrastructure and infrastructure investment and skill development, as he was also talking about. So that would give Namibia really that Namibia can indeed transform its mineral wealth. We can still then transform our mineral wealth into a broader economic, you know, prosperity if we have a deliberate if we make that deliberate decision, that are also needed, as Kanjengo would actually put it. All right. So you can still come through on this, our telephone number, or wait on our discussion if you're following. Telephone number 0833-66091. Or any other. Let me give you all this opportunity. So, or any other issues that you wish to talk about as well. So you're most welcome to come through. And as long as that issue has to do with, you know, bread and butter issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, that are bread and butter issues. So telephone number 0833-66091. So do come through and have your take on what we have discussed so far. So yeah, I don't want to go into something new because it's only about 12 minutes and then, then we are off. All right. So come through, engage me on much of the things that we have talked about.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
All right, welcome back. So our time, it's about 11 minutes, 11 minutes to the hour of 10, where we will bring to the end our unpacking the day. So as I said, I really don't want to get into something new, but let's focus on what we have discussed so far. Maybe there are a few things maybe just to highlight. So what we're looking at is really, what does Namibia need to process mineral locally? So Namibia needs to scale up local mineral processing, because as we call it, as beneficiation, as it referred to as beneficiation. And what we look at is really what are the most important gaps and practical priorities, as we discussed with Kanjengo, practical priorities that we need to look at. That's what I really wanted to focus on looking at. Yes. So some of the things that he really mentioned is the whole question of policy, the clear national beneficiation and value addition policy. Because that in itself also gives the investor some certainty, and also a set local content ownership rules and, you know, incentives, and also create those incentives, especially when it comes, think of when it comes to tax breaks either, or special economic, you know, zones that you talked about, and also procurement rules and all those kind of things. So clear national beneficiation and value addition policies. So those are some of the Namibia has, we have the mineral beneficiation strategy that from 2021, and we also have ongoing value addition work, you know. But the problem is that, you know, implementation, I think, and stronger legal incentives, I think, is also needed. So we also talk about that we need, when it comes to heavy processing, let's say, for example, smelting, refining, chemical conversions, it require it's actually that it require electricity. It require a reliable, affordable energy, because this kind of processing are electricity intensive. So, and our push for green hydrogen maybe could be it could be our game changer in the future. So maybe that's where also we need to invest so that we can we have that reliable, affordable energy to be able now to do to scale up. We need to scale up that power for local processing. Otherwise, in the way where we are, we cannot be able to do that because these are electricity intensive and it needs a lot of energy. Yeah, so we need to those infrastructure and contra must be delivered really to be able to create this process. The other thing is also we're looking at, we talked about, is physical infrastructure. For example, water. The president also talked about railway and air networks, railway especially, and road when it comes to processing. Railway is very, very important, and ports and industrial parks. Those are very, very important when it comes now to processing. So you need steady water and cost-effective, transportations. So, because the current logistic, which is only much the road, that we only have a better, good road network. So, yeah, we need to improve that.
A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Captain Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. It's Tuesday morning, so...
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, the minors.
Yeah.
I think we should comment that Kanjengo did a good work.
Yeah, no, he really did. So...
Yeah, he have really done a good job.
Mm.
I only wanted to come from a different angle.
Yeah.
The same topic. We mine uranium in Namibia, but we export yellow cake.
Yeah,
that's what we exported outside.
Sometimes when you're telling, some other people may not understand what is a yellow cake. You guys that are in the industry, only one that know what is a yellow cake. You know what is it? Now okay. People starting to imagine a yellow cake. How? It's like you go to a doctor and he's telling you now, a dentist, you have a problem with your tooth. He's telling you your pulmonary canal, whatever, and then you think, man, I have a big problem, man. So, but it's just normal words. What's a yellow cake? What are we exporting?
Okay, when they mine the uranium ore, it's crushed
in,
and processed in the mine, into something called yellow cake, which is easy for them to transport.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that is, but it's not a final product.
Mm.
It's purely for them to make it easy for transportation.
Yeah,
just to remove a lot of unwanted materials.
Mm.
So that at least wherever it goes, it's because why should you transport 10 kg or one metric ton while half of that it's of no use?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
So you try to remove that to leave it here in Namibia, and you only take the most variable one in the form, they call it a yellow cake. That is that is the stage where Namibia uranium process stop.
Mm.
Now, the only, maybe we need to start since, contracts and agreements and all things are involved in these mining sectors. We need to start maybe asking ourselves how far our involvement in the as a country in the production of that yellow cake.
Mm.
Okay, are we saying if it's a Chinese company that comes and get the uranium ore?
Yeah.
Then
they are the one involved in crushing and processing into yellow cake. Is it not possible for us maybe to start thinking of being involved in that process?
Yeah, over time, I'm starting to think that over time, because I think the Chinese, they are the one who set up the infrastructure, first of all, and probably they are the one who have the skill set. So, but over time, we should be able to have the skill set. We should be able to have also local company probably involved, you know. But otherwise, nothing much that we're really getting from there.
Yeah, because just imagine if now they come here with all the investments and they have all the knowledge or whatever skill that is needed, capital, money that is needed. Mm-hmm. And then we, now in our negotiation, we say, okay, can't you allow us? Remember when you say us Namibians,
yeah,
the Namibian company involved in producing that yellow cake. Because from the beginning, you don't necessarily need to have those kind of skills. You can import it from wherever they are.
Yeah.
You can import it. But the only question is, why can't we involve in those processes as a country? Then maybe there we get some benefit out of it. Because why should you allow a Chinese to mine and they are the ones that are crushing and processing this into ore?
Yeah.
Why can't we? Because it's obvious, us setting up a facility to now produce uranium into a final product, that might not be within our reach now.
Yeah.
Because we have done a terrible job from the beginning, at least. We have made a terrible job. We never thought, we had never planned. It was never part of our equation when we started with the whole process. So we have messed it up. But in the midst of this mess, where we have messed it up, is there anything that we can salvage from it?
Yeah. But it's like this. Even if we have to be involved, it's like, you know, I'm building the road. It's my equipment. It's my vehicles that I only need you actually for this, you know, this simple work. But otherwise, I think it's exactly the same. And we want more to have a more meaningful involvement, but we don't have like maybe machinery. We only have the capital, but it's a low skill capital, human capital, which are only getting temporary job. At the end of that, when the road is finished, the job comes to an end as well.
Yeah, but you know that is better than nothing.
Yeah, no, of course. And mostly
because
this
currently,
is the...
Because the thing is, okay, this guy, the uranium mine, wants to export yellow cake to wherever they export it. They say one of them, the biggest one is Kazakhstan or something. Now, they want to export yellow cake. Now, what I'm saying is, okay, they also incur the cost of crushing and processing into yellow cake.
Yeah.
So during that stage, maybe us, we can now come in and say, okay, let us do that for you. Okay, it's obvious. It's a cost and the business arrangement.
Yeah,
let us do that because the world systems and what has been established, it's very difficult. You know, you already have refineries that are well.
But do we have even equipment for crushing?
Very good question.
Yeah.
That's where it's our mistake as a country.
Yeah.
Our leaders who have been in power, who all the people from the beginning, because we could have thought of some of this thing a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just imagine you are coming to buy, you come to me, you are buying a kettle. Then I know at the end of the day you want meat. When you buy the kettle for me, then I say, okay, take the kettle, you're going to slaughter it yourself. Why don't we agree? It's okay, yes, you come and buy a kettle, but can I slaughter it for you? Can I skin it for you? Can I package it for you so that you go with your meat?
Yeah.
And in the process, at least I've got some. If we could have started with that, okay?
Yeah.
This is what you can do. Can we do this in between thing here ourselves for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, but it's,
It's a challenge, I'm telling you, especially when it comes to mining
resources.
It's a challenge because of the mistake.
Yeah.
For me, there are two things that it's a mistake we have made, and also the system that are already there. You country have already well-established refineries and those facilities, and it's very, very difficult to compete with them. It's very, very, it's not even economical viable.
Yeah.
Just to compete with them. So we must find another way. How do we get at least the benefit out of it? Because this thing, there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, man. Thank you for coming through. Yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen and others, that's actually bring us to, the end of Unpacking the Day today. And thank you for those who contributed to the show. And thanks to Kanjengo for coming through also this morning and give us his insight when it comes to what does we need to do to process mineral locally. So we will take up these themes throughout the week and see what we can get from different speakers. So, yeah, it's 3 minutes past the hour of 10. And so I'm saying my goodbye to you. And let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So, and I'm going to leave you in the capable hand of Mbarangaja. And that is Mr. Tate Franz. So, yeah. Goodbye, and until tomorrow.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one.